Again, we just wanted to make sure you knew it was Tuesday and not Monday. For all of those who had the day off yesterday, maybe feeling like the beginning of your week, today is Tuesday. But it's still time to take a look at what's ahead for the rest of the week. And that's why we've got our agenda experts with us. Callie Crossley is host of The Callie Crossley Show on WGBH, Boston Public Radio. And also Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large at the International Herald Tribune, which is the international edition of our partner, The New York Times. Thank you both for joining us.
Hello.
First of all, let's try to explain for those who maybe aren't keeping up with all of the details, the back and forth on the debt crisis in Europe. What exactly is happening with Spain? Will they bail out the banks? Will they go bankrupt? What will happen?
What's happening is that basically we're trying to avoid a contagion here. The fear is always that when one animal in a farmyard gets sick, that the disease could spread to other animals in the farmyard. Well, Greece is sick, and we're afraid that Spain is going to get sick too. We probably will not have to bail out Spanish banks. If we do, we will. Bankia, which is a kind of consortium of three different kind of sick Spanish banks, are all put together in the hope that they'd all be stronger once they were all put together. Well, that was wrong. And it has lots of bad mortgage debt. Well, we Americans, we know a lot about bad mortgage debt and what that can do to a bank. So what we're trying, we will do whatever we have to do to make sure that the Bankia is rescued if it needs to be. It will not spread to larger Spanish issue because Europe, frankly, cannot afford to have this contagion spread to any more economies. Spain is much larger than Greece. It's not going to happen. It'll be fine. The question is, will Greece actually remain a part of the euro? That's still a question up for resolution. We'll have elections on the 17th of June that will give us some indication. But right now, it seems that Greeks themselves are moving more toward the idea that they actually want to stay in the euro, and if they have to vote for the right-wing New Democracy Party to do that, they may actually do it on June 17th.
All right, let's come back to the States for politics here for a moment with Callie, because the Republican primaries are today in Texas. Romney is running unopposed there, so it's most likely that he'll get the delegates that he needs to become the official candidate. But everyone is kind of looking at Texas not so much as whether or not Romney will win. He will. But how good he will be at getting Latinos there to vote for him. What do you think?
Well, 1 in 4 of the Texas registered voters are Latinos. And that's a demographic that anybody would like to have in their column. And certainly Mitt Romney would like to see some movement toward him. What's interesting is that in presidential primaries and elections in the past, except up till 2008, the Texans overall moved toward Republicans, and there was kind of an even split among Latinos. But in 2008, all bets were off. Most of the Latinos went for President Obama. And as you know, there's been a big, big, big argument politically about immigration issues. And on that, many people feel that Mitt Romney and the Republicans are on the wrong side to interest people in, certainly the Latino voters in Texas. I've noticed a few Latino political blogs that are out in force on a campaign against what they are describing as some anti-immigrant politicians. And so I have to believe that some of that sentiment may spill over into what takes place in the voting today in the primaries.
Although I'm not sure, Callie, that today is a good indication. I mean, Romney's already the presumptive nominee. He's probably not going to get a lot of enthusiastic votes out in Texas. Can we really draw a lot of conclusions from the way people vote today?
I think it's all about, you know, noticing if there's enthusiasm or if people are trying to make a point. You're absolutely right. Anytime you have these kinds of, it's a given. Why should I go to the polls and make my point if I'm a voter? But at the same time, as I said, there's some movement. The National Tequila Party movement, something I was unfamiliar with, really quite active in making immigration a centerpiece of what Latino voters should be concerned about. So I'll be interested to see if at least there is some conversation about it and if they're able to draw people to the polls to make a point. May not be able to, but a lot of people are looking to see exactly what will happen there today as some indication of what may happen in the fall.
Marcus, let's talk about Syria. There's obviously a lot of international discussion going on. Let's take a listen to Kofi Annan, who's the special envoy to Syria, talking about the Hala massacre from over the weekend.
I am personally shocked and horrified by the tragic incident in Hula 2 days ago, which took so many innocent lives, children, women, and men.
there's obviously, there seems to be a number of people now calling for international intervention. We heard from the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Obviously, Shimon Peres of Israel said today that world leaders need to think about stepping in at this point. Are we going to see some more decisive action?
Unfortunately not. For those who really want decisive action, you know, this has been a kind of slow-burning tragedy in which we've not seen the international community take decisive action. On the contrary, the international community has done all it can to keep from having to take decisive action in the way it did in Libya that actually precipitated the end of the dictatorship there. Syria is a different situation. The international community is very afraid of what happens after Assad in Syria. It's a sectarian country, a country full of sectarian divisions, that if it were to fall apart, given its crossroads position next to Iraq, next to Turkey, next to the Holy Land, we don't know what would happen. And the devil you know, which is incredibly evil from the massacre that happened in Hula over the weekend, is not necessarily worse than the devil that would come after it. So the international community is very divided and very uncertain of how to move forward. But if we keep having massacres like in Hula, the question is, how long can the international community resist taking more decisive action?
Well, we'll have to see that for ourselves. I would imagine they can resist for a pretty long time. Marcus Mabry is editor-at-large of the International Herald Tribune. That's the international edition of the New York Times. And Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Thanks to both of you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.